AFACWB listening. KF8CWB mobile and listening.
W8RCY vertical.
KC8VSU.
That's right. Absolutely. Man, I'll tell you what. That defensive pass interference call at the end of the game. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I thought I was watching the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, the Lions have gotten 1,000 of those over the years, but, you know, lately they've been more the, you know, the golden child benefiting from calls in the last couple of years when they're interesting and everybody's darling. But you just can't overcome the champ, you know. All the favors go to the champ. But that was just absolutely horrendous. I mean, not only did they get it exactly wrong, it was the opposite was true. It was offensive pass interference. And worst part of it is, it was just game-ending.
I agree, but, you know, I'm watching the game and I'm going, like, what happened to the marriage between Goff and St. Brown? I mean, I can't remember the last time St. Brown caught a pass. And second of all, where was Montgomery in the game when they tried to fake that punt with, you know, the fake punt thing, and they put that guy in with the long hair on special teams to run the ball through? No. It's, you know, it's only a yard or less. Put Montgomery in there and have him, you know, just plow right through it like he always did. Montgomery was not in the game much at all. And I was just disgusted. I shut it off at 11 o'clock, you know, into the fourth quarter. I just said, I can't watch this to the end.
Oh, my God, you missed that call then. Yeah, it was just, you know, they had successfully made the stop. And it was going to be, you know, they would have had to have punted. There's no way that deep they could have attempted lost, you know, pass on downs, because, you know, or loss on, you know, possession on downs, but, geez, oh, Pete, it, you know, they had them. It was it. I don't know. The Goff's passing game was just atrocious yesterday, and, you know, not a lot from anybody. A minute and some odd chance of tying the game is what I'm upset about, and I'm still upset about that, but should have never been in that position, you know, because the play was absolutely atrocious. You could say it was Philly's defense, right? You know, because their defense at times was smothering. It was just really, really top-notch. But still, there was plenty of, you know, wide-open, you know, misses and right into the hands and drops, stuff that, you know, just like, oh, my God, how do you miss that?
The interference call I did not see live. I saw it on replay. I was watching some sports channels this morning on Fox, and they played it back. And on Fox Cable, not local Channel 2 news here, but that's where I saw it. But, yeah, it's just, my God, what team showed up and what the hell was going on with the play calling? And, oh, I mean, I was just screaming at that TV. Actually, I was screaming at my laptop. But it was just the fact that, I was just disappointed. And it's like, oh, man. What? I'm at a loss for words, to be totally honest with you. other than that, I did not make it to breakfast Friday. I did not get a haircut, or Saturday, I did not get a haircut. I ended up spending the weekend up in Chesterfield. So how was your weekend? How did everything go Saturday?
Excellent. It really went well. I thought it was a good time. And, is that a call sign? KJ8OZ. That's a call sign. Doesn't look like a call plate. Looks like a University of Michigan plate. Oh, well. Guess he could have got his call on there. Anyhow, it went really well. I thought it was good times. And I got some antenna work done over the weekend and some other areas, odds and ends. And my college team destroyed a lesser opponent on their way to the big matchup in two Saturdays. Yeah, all in all, good.
Yeah, we got up Saturday morning, and we were going to, Joe was going to drop me off, and she was going to head to Orchard Lake. And we realized that it was the shift that was going on this weekend, and she just said, I ain't going to battle with that. You really want to go to breakfast with the guys? And I said, nah. So I had no radio with me, no nothing. All I had was my phone. And so I wasn't even on the air all weekend. But the traffic shift is through. Anthony shouldn't have any problems coming in if he's listening, if he's not already at work. And that was about it here on this end. And, so. Anywho, nothing really new on this end. What was that call sign again?
Well, it was a license plate, and it wasn't an amateur license plate, so could have just been luck of the draw. But I've been seeing more and more plates that I don't think are amateur, but they're legitimate amateur structure. This one was KJ. Kilowatt Juliet 8 OZ, like Dr. Oz.
84 ZYQ.
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, it's not to interrupt you too long. I just want to say good morning. Hope you have good travels to work and back wherever you're going. And I just have to agree with you. The Lions game, they looked disorganized, the offense especially. And they weren't the same team that I saw previous that played real good with the Campbell doing all the calls of the previous one. They're totally two different teams. They didn't look like they showed up this last time. They looked tired, disorganized. But I'll do one and done. Just want to say good morning and agree with you on the Lions game. That was a disaster. KE4ZYQ, go ahead.
That call sign does not come up on the thing when I looked it up at all. I just happened to be on there when you said it, and I got distracted, and that's why I asked you to say it again. But I was on that app and at the time. So that did not come up to a call sign. Go ahead, Sean.
All right. Well, I feel sorry for that guy if he's in Michigan and he gets that call sign and wants to get a plate because somebody else has got it. That's crazy. Anyhow, Joe, yeah, the game was, well, it is what it is. So I don't know. I don't know what that team was. I hope they don't show up again down the stretch because we're going to be struggling to get in the playoffs at all at this rate. Anyhow, I wonder where Dakota is this morning. I wonder if he got anything. I'm guessing since it was a culling hunt, he did. But be curious anyhow.
I did monitor some of the this network's system on my scanner on my phone, and I didn't hear him at all over the weekend. So I don't know. And I have yet to hear him prior to you jumping in, and I have yet to hear from Anthony, so I don't know. And Joe, by the way, good morning to you. Sorry, I didn't mean to, my mind is elsewhere this morning, and Just wanted to say hello back to you, and I hope you have a great day as well, if you're still listening. Over to you, Joe. If not, Sean, pick it up. Or if anybody else is out there.
KU4CY2, yeah, I was going to do one and done, but since you mentioned it, yeah, I listen now. Anytime I'm on a frequency, either I'm listening only, or if I jump in, I have to listen after if there's a comment or rebuttal, or not rebuttal, but a comment back. So, yeah, most of us hams, I think we listen a lot more than we talk. At least that's my finding for me. I don't always talk on all the frequencies or all the things. There's chatter going on. You learn a lot that way, and you don't disrupt some good conversations either. Over to you, Sean. KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, well, except for drive time where I just talk, you know, nonsense sometimes. I generally only jump in when I do have something, you know, to contribute. I listen a lot, though. But, and sometimes when I do, I'll tell you what, I'll go to jump in sometimes, and then when I unkey, somebody else is talking, like we doubled, and I'll just throw the mic down and say, that wasn't important. It takes one double trying to get into a conversation and for me to just throw the mic down and discuss and say, it's not the person or anything like that, but I just, even when I try to jump in sometimes when that happens, I just kind of go, screw it, throw the mic down. So much for listening. Donald, you know you got, I don't know, did we set up that DV Switch app for you? And even better, for a couple of dollars, you can get that ground wire. Well, you get, no, never mind. With ground wire, you'd have to actually go through the hassle of setting up a sweep. But did we set up DV Switch for you? Because that way you could get on no matter where you are, as long as you got your phone. Yes, I do. You hooked it up, and I've used it a few times. But, Friday night, date night, I'm not allowed to bring a radio. And I was figuring on, you know, having a radio Saturday morning, and I didn't because I never left Chesterfield. So that's what happened there. And, I probably could have used DB Switch, but, it's just Friday night, date night, no radios or anything like that. It's like, you know, towards the end of my mom, I wasn't really allowed to have my phone, but she fully understood that my mom's time was near, and I was allowed to have a phone on 24/7 during our time together. And it's just, you know, our time is our time, I guess. That's it in a nutshell. So, for Joe real quick, if he's still there, I heard you on, I think it's the Livonia repeater this morning, chatting with the guys at 5 a.m., I just missed their conversations, but I was a little late to the party, but I heard you talking to other people. So you're up probably earlier than me and chatting more than I would be, W-E-R-C-Y.
Well, today was an exception. I've been on the radio in the morning too early lately because I've been sleeping in, being up late at night sometimes, so... being retired, you don't have a clock. At least I don't set an alarm unless something's important. But talking about getting into a repeater there, Sean, the Ann Arbor repeater roundtable they have in the daytime, the guys are pretty seasoned ham radio operators, and they forget about leaving spaces in between, and they say, well, let's leave a space, and before the repeater drops, somebody's jumping in. I spent 45 minutes one day a few days ago trying to get in, because I've talked to them many times, and so my goal after that was to get in just to tell them, guys, you're not really leaving 5 seconds in between the repeater drop, you know, so I say that for emergency purposes, because if somebody's on their car, got the radio listening, and they get an accident, they may only have the radio to talk, they can't find their phone or whatever, so there you go, just trying to be careful. Over to you, Sean, KE4ZYQ.
Yep. Normally, I really leave a big pause in mine. Sometimes it's so much so I think I'm really inviting trouble. But it's never been a big thing. I just very, very deliberately spoke-y. Except for, now if I'm in a, you know how when you're in a round table, everybody's just kind of like, you know, I'll make a mental note to comment on the Lions because Joe brought that up. I'll make a comment to talk about date night because, you know, Donald brought that up, you know, and then say this. You know, you got to kind of like keep a little mental note of what's going on around and, you know, and make some comments on it. You know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it's chit-chat, right? It's not. But sometimes, like in the middle of that round table, Godot will pop in and say, hey, Sean, that thing that I got from you on Saturday wasn't working. I think I'm doing something wrong. And I'll key back up, and then we'll have a give and go. Boop, 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 boop. And I'll get quick on the key there because, it's you know, look, we'll be back to the round table in just a minute. But understand, the round table is just nonsense, and we have a thing right now. And we'll boop, 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 okay, back to the round table. So I'll get fast then. But aside from that, I try to go very slow. I try, at least. But you never know.
Yeah, with me, if I hear a conversation going, like Sean just mentioned, between Sean and Dakota about something, and it's my turn to come around, and I can sense that, you know, I'll let them just get their quick answers, and I'll just pass and say, you know, Dakota, go ahead. I'll let you two finish up. You know, kind of a thing. I've done that a couple times. But we try our best in the morning, and sometimes it does get out. I mean, I've even tried pencil and paper writing down the names in order, and, you know, like, well, that didn't work. So, but, yeah, we just got to, you know, work it out. And nine times out of ten, you know, we work it out pretty good. But, yeah, quick keys, they're everywhere, no matter what frequency you're on. Or what band you're on, in my radio experience here in my little UHF world. Yeah, leaving enough space, it was one time or another, we're all guilty of it. Go ahead, Joe.
Yep, K-40Q returning. Yeah, I hear what you guys are saying, I agree. And like, Sean, like what you're talking about, going direct to somebody is just like on a net when somebody wants to talk to somebody either during or right after, they say, I don't want to go direct with somebody and back and forth a couple times on a question or problem or issue and then get back to the round table or whatever. So, yeah, that's just a part of ham radio. But leave a little gap. I don't know if you guys remember, heard, or realized that I was on the radio late at night one night, and they just got done with a net. I think it was the Ocar's net, and a guy, Chris, KD4LJT, was diabetic, living alone, blind, and he had a diabetic reaction, fell on the floor, and had his radio hanging, his mic hanging, and he called for help, and nobody heard him. I just happened to be on the net, not to brag by any means, and called 911. They got there, took him to ER. He had two heart attacks there. They revived him. He's alive today, so that happened about a year or so ago, but I'll never forget that opportunity to help him out, and it was just sheer chance. Back to you, Sean.
That's outstanding, Joe. Those are the, you know, I think back on my, how long have I been a ham? I mean, back in the 80s, late 80s, so it's been, you know, a number of years, coming up on, what, 40 now? Of all the things, there's a few things that stand out. My first contact, you know, is memorable to me. A few other things. But one thing in particular that I'll never forget, and one of my, I think, one of the greatest things I did in radio was similar. Well, not really similar. That one's really next level that you described there, Joe. But there was an Armenian family that lived a couple of streets over from me, and their kid Ed and I went to school together, and they knew I was in the ham radio. This was long after high school, and you know, so it wasn't even Ed, but the family got a hold of me and they said, hey, there's a huge earthquake in Armenia, and there were thousands of dead in this, and they said, we haven't heard from our, you know, from our cousin or whatever it was, and we're quite concerned, and there's no communications or anything like that. Can you find anything out with your radio? So I got, there was a net set up specifically for the Armenian earthquake. I got in on it. I said, I'm checking on the welfare of a Hovhannes Hovhannesian. I remember the name of they. And they said, okay, we'll look into it. And like the next day, they they got a hold of me, and he said, you know, we talked to him, he's fine, you know, and, you know, sends his love or whatever like that, you know, whatever it was. And I was able to go over to the family and deliver that news, and they were just, there were joy, tears of joy and all that. And I thought, this is the greatest thing I've ever done on ham radio, ever. Donald?
That's two very interesting stories. I'm not a seasoned ham by any means. I've only been at this maybe 13, 14 months on this level. But, and I've had a couple of things with my years, and Sean, Joe, you may not know, but I've got a lot of time in the GMRS world. And we've had, you know, similar situations with local tornadoes that come through, and I've been able to help, you know, people like that, but that's just on a local level. But to do things like that on a national level or a global level, yeah, those stories is really what ham radio is all about. And, you know, you can't always trust, I mean, the technology that we have today with cell phones, and every time you turn around, you hear about outages with AT&T and Verizon. So what do you have? And now the government is trying to propose to get the HOA thing, whatever it is that they're trying to do to allow ham operators to put stations up in their homes, regardless of HOA or not. Signed a petition. I signed it on both sides because I guess they expanded it to GMRS operators, not just amateur operators. So there's two letters that, you know, one's written for ham and the other one's written for GMRS, but I signed both and put in for it. I mean, I'm restricted to what I can do in my senior campus, which Sean's familiar with, and I'm looking at ways of knocking that out. That's my number one priority next year, other than my health. So, but I'll take a break and see if anybody else has joined us, and if not, Joe, over to you, sir.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ, didn't hear anybody, at least I didn't. But, yeah, I'm in an HOA. I'm in a condo. And I got that attic antenna, which I'm sure Sean knows or remembers hearing one time, 10 times or more. But, yeah, the thing about this guy, Chris, that I just mentioned, not to brag like I said at all, it was when I got to know him early on, a year and a half, 2 years ago, on the radio for the Clarkston Repeater Net, and got to know he did the net control at times. He was living with his mother in a trailer, and his mother was elderly and had some health issues, and he worried about her before she actually passed away shortly after I got to know him. And he was living in a trailer by himself, and when this incident happened with him before it did, I was praying before his mother died, and I prayed that I would win maybe a lottery or something, could pay for all his care and people to come to the house to help him over time. And I believed in prayer and a supreme being, just to say, and I prayed, man, can I help him? Please give me some money somehow. I can give us thousands of dollars so to pay for care at his house, or, you know, medical care, whatever, and pay off his trailer if I could or whatever. Instead of me having that happen, the other thing happened. So I guess I helped him in the prayer that I had for him, and it was just gave me chills afterwards once I settled down. When he got to the hospital, I settled down. I thought, wow, I asked to help him. I didn't know this was going to be what happened. Over to you, Sean.
Yeah, well, just, you know, like I said, hold on to that. That's a great story and, you know, and a great, you know, we horse around with this stuff and whatnot, but things like that are worth noting, you know, and worth sharing. And I'm sure it felt really, really, you know, good to, you know, be able to save his life, literally. You know, it's, you know, with your radio and your observational skills as well. So you got that. But, yeah, good stuff, good stuff. There's always something you can do. We're looking, this ARPSC group up here is getting real active, getting a lot of nice, you know, nice active people, younger guys too, that are mobile, and they're looking forward to really doing some meaningful stuff, right? And we're trying very desperately to make sure we get them out for some seriously meaningful work, and you know, that's part of the problem is
you know, I belong to a few committees with this is work related, and the ones that don't get anything done, you know, they die quickly. People lose interest. They don't want to come anymore. You know, you got to accomplish something, or people just say, I got better things to do with my time. So that's kind of a segue, really. It's tangentially related to what we're talking about, but we're trying to make some opportunities for more good work to get done for people, and with using the radio and all that. And yeah, I got faith that the group that's in there now is moving in that direction. This is W8FU, Donald.
There is nothing I can add to that statement. That's, you couldn't be more true with what you just said, Sean, and how this organization, the ARPSC thing, not just in Macomb County, but other counties as well, is starting to build and starting to grow, especially here in southeastern Michigan. I don't know how it is in other counties or throughout the state or in other states overall, but seems like the ARPSC name is getting out there even stronger than the CERT one that I initially heard about, but that's basically local community in their city. Warren, Sterling Heights, Royal Oak, I think, is the other one that's in the area. No, Hazel Park, I'm sorry. Hazel Park might be the other one. Yeah, but when you get these countywide things going, definitely, most definitely, and the growth that I've seen in the year that I've been following the ARPSC here from Macomb County, how much has changed in 1 year from when I went through it last year with you in October, that very first one that I set thing that I did to where you guys are now is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I'm just blown away as the growth to all of this, and hopefully next year I can get more involved and, you know, become a part of the team with what capacities I'll have. Joe, go ahead after a break.
Huh, wonder if we lost Joe. Anyhow, another thing I noticed is the UMP machine seems to be down, so I'm going to have to check that out. I'm practically in spitting distance here, so I should be working it no problem.
Did you just key it? Because it just kicked like 10 seconds ago.
84 ZYQ. I think the Mount Clemens timed out.
Is that what happened?
Did I do that? Did KE4 ZYQ take it?
I have the hub on, and I'm, you know, watching as, you know, who's keying up where and on what repeater, and I'm on my nose, so that's what's lighting up right now. But and Sean mentioned that the ump went down. I'm looking at it, and I'm going, no, it's showing that it's had some recent activity on it, so I don't know. So it must have timed out.
Well, is KE4ZYQ making it in through the Romeo repeater?
Well, I can't work it at all. I don't think it's timed out. I'm on TJ's machine. Am I making it?
The monitor is showing that you're on ump. That's what highlighted what I'm seeing here.
No, I should be on KC8LTS in Detroit. 42.175, that's what I'm on.
Okay, I'm looking at the full chart now instead of just the FBI one, and yeah, you're on that one, I'm sure. You know, TJ's repeater out of Detroit, that's what you're keying up on. I was on the wrong. I had the phone in landscape mode, and I did not see all the graphics, so to speak.
KE4ZYQ making a trip.
I think you broke the UMP, Joe. Am I making this one readable or no?
Sounds okay to me.
Sounds perfectly fine. About that story, one last thing is, the EMTs that showed up for that guy's house to save him, one of them was a ham, and he signed off when he turned the radio off. Before he turned it off, he signed off. So that was unique.
I doubled on you, Joe. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, that's just like an old habit that never dies, you know, in a sense that you shut something off, that he would do something like that. He probably did it and wasn't even consciously aware that he did it.
I'm going to jump out here, grab my coffee. I'm a little rushed this morning, so I gotta get dilly-dally. I'll be back in a few. W8FU.
Well, what I was saying about the EMT is he was a ham, and when they got to the place to get the guy and help him, that he got on the radio knowing that the ham was talking to me, and he verified they were there, and he signed off with his own call sign, which I don't remember because it was 2/10 of a moment. I didn't write it down or worry about it. I just knew he signed off with his call sign. So that was very unique.
I doubled on you guys a couple of times. My bad. I'm sorry. I need to learn how to hand over directly to somebody a little bit better, because when I'm done talking, I don't say over to Joe or over to Sean or anybody else. So that's my bad. That's one of those things I got to pick up on. But, yeah, I had said, Joe, in regards to what you were saying, is he probably did it unconsciously, just out of habit. You know, he just walked over the radio and throughout his call sign on the other person's radio, and probably didn't even realize he did it till afterwards, you know. Creature of habit, kind of a thing. Not too sure. Joe, back to you, because I think Sean's ordering coffee or something. W8RCY.
Yep, K4CY. You know, what I was saying was, it was unique that the EMT, one of the EMTs that was there for the emergency, was a ham radio operator, and he knew that the guy was calling out for help, and he got called, the emergency 911 was called by somebody on ham radio with him. So when he went there to help the guy, after they got stable on the cart, he went to the radio and talked to me briefly to say, yep, we got him all set, thanks for calling, and he signed off with his own call sign. So it wasn't that he just turned it up. He made sure the guy was all set to go, and took 2 seconds to turn the radio off. Before he did, he signed off, which was kind of good to know. They were there and got him and took him away, but yeah, that was unique.
Absolutely, for sure. Yeah, it's glad he did that, because, you know, you don't want to leave the person that was trying to help, you know, not give him a follow-up as to what was going on. And sounded like a true professional operator for sure to, you know, sign off and give the information that, you know, like you said, we got him and he's being taken care of. So that's good. So it's like a win-win situation. Is Sean back with us?
Yes, I am. I got my coffee about a mile ago here. But, yeah, it's good of him. Apparently, he must have, you know, been alert enough to tell the EMT that that was going on. So, that's cool. But, yeah, good stuff. It's a great story, Joe, really is. And should be proud of that one. And so that's what it's all about, really. Anywho, supposed to be brisk today. Just freezing here, according to my car. 32 degrees. I don't think we're supposed to get much above 40 today. I know yesterday I was doing a little antenna work. To drive me batty, I tried 2 different antennas. And every time I put them up, they were jacked. And I swept my coax lines and everything, and it just baffled me why these antennas are giving me trouble, so I just gave it up. It was a little brisk yesterday, but sunny and wasn't terribly windy, so worked out. But the weather is not going to be cooperating much longer. I'm going to have to get that last antenna figured out. Did get my wire. Got that all tuned up and good to go for the winter. It's working really, really well. So that was all good. As I make my final approach here, Joe?
Yeah, KU4ZYQ return. Well, Sean, talking about the weather, it's only going to be about 44 here in Clinton Township, I know, today, high. But a week from today, might hit 54 is the prediction. So if you got anything to do outside, and sunny, by the way, no rain or clouds, but if you got anything to do outside before the real bad weather comes, you might look to anywhere between now and Monday. Next Monday is supposed to be 54, and maybe 48 on Sunday, next Sunday. And then mid-40s between then and or next Sunday. Well, guys, I'm going to cut loose. Thanks for letting me jump in, and thanks for everything, talking with you, hearing some things interesting. And always good to hear other hams out there getting to work and being safe and all, and getting their coffees, especially. Hi. I'll throw it over, I think, Dakota. It's 7-3 from KE4ZYQ.
Joe, the name here is Donald. Call sign is W8RCY over in Madison Heights. I was looking at the weather as Joe was looking at it, and I'm seeing pretty much the same numbers, a little bit of difference between Sunday the 23rd and Monday. We might hit the 50s, but other than that, we'll be in the mid to upper 40s after tomorrow. So Wednesday through Saturday, we'll be in the 40s. So Sunday and Monday, we might hit 50. No sign of rain, which is also good. Well, rain, PM snow showers tomorrow, but that's about it. That's what I'm looking at. Joe, pleasure always having you on the airwaves. You sir, have a great day, and Sean, over to you.
Just a quick apology, Donald. I meant Donald. My mind's not working. I'm still not awake. KU4ZYQ, clear.
Sorry, Sean. Well, perhaps Sean landed the plane, so he's at work. Joe's going to take a break. Me, I'm going to go have another cup of coffee, jump in the shower. I've got physical therapy this morning so far. I haven't heard anything otherwise. Either I get an email or something or some kind of notation that they are or now are not coming to the senior campus here. Everybody have a great day. W8RCY, we'll be listening.
KE4ZYQ was listening out, but when you said physical therapy, I got to tell you, Donald, if you have any questions or anything about that I can help with information-wise, let me know. I did it for over 40 years, so there you go. But 7-3, KE4ZYQ, clear now.
Joe, sir, you are correct. I've only been a ham now for about 12 or 13 months. And I've listened to you and your history, and I have neuropathy, apathy issues, and other things that are a little more intense that I don't really care to talk about on the radio. But, I work with a bunch of young college students. We have Davenport University is right across the street from my senior campus that I live here, and they come over here, and they're students, and they just help me with my mobility and balance and other little things that I need to help get me through the day while I'm still on my own 2 feet. And what I mean by I'm on my own 2 feet is that I'm not walking with a cane, a walker, a rollator, or worse off, being in some kind of a scooter or, you know, motorized wheelchair. So it's a debilitating issue that I have, and I just got to, I've accepted for what it is, and I just basically work with them, and they do an excellent job helping me with everything. So that's it on this end. All right, I'm out of here. I got to find some more coffee and get my day started, jump in the shower and so on and so forth. So we're signing off for now, W8RCY. Everybody have a great day.
Yep, K4ZYQ, clear.
NAWL, Mark.
Delta Oscar 8, Juliet Kilo Papa, CQ, Echolink test.
KF8CWB, mobile and listening. KF8CWB, mobile and listening.
KF8CWB, this is KE8NOR, how copy?
Hey, thanks for copying. This is my first contact on my new mobile setup.
Well, I am honored. I heard your call out before, and you are very clear, repeaters taking your signal and carrying it very nicely, and your voice quality is very high. Sounds very good. So there's your report. Welcome to the club. Over.
All right. Well, I was just showing a friend the setup, so I'm going to 73 and hope you have a great day.
Very good. Little hint. Make your call sign the last thing. That way we know who it was. And I'll sign out. And listen, this is KE8NOR.
This is WD8KLL and mobile. WD8KLL and mobile. KF8DRC from WD8KLL. KF8DRC from WD8KLL. Nothing heard, WD8KLL clear.
Getting anything done?
I'm trying my darndest. Got, I have two down. I gotta get down. Oh, two down, two to go.
Oh, very good.
Well, the next one is in Livonia, and that's to, adjust a lock plate on a magnetic door, or an armature plate on a mag lock on a glass door. The thing's not latching all the time. So, that should be quick and easy. Then off to Highland Park to do some programming at the Jimmy Center.
Oh, very good. Okay. Well, at least you're staying in the southeast part of the state today. That's a plus.
100% agree. agree with that. My co-workers up in the UK trying to get a bug. I'm going to do as much as I can to get this done so I can get out early today. I got to go back to the UK Center tomorrow. So long that's going to take 39 doors for this program.
I'm no genius, but I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to talk to your co-worker on FRS today.
I think that's going to be a possibility, so I got EMR going today.
There you go. I got it on here. It's been kind of quiet. I'm in my work car, but I brought my handy talkie with me, and it's been quiet.
Yeah, I haven't keyed it up lately. I'll probably go on there later today. We will see. Remember, right here, Radio Chirp is the one that I pick up. You know, that goes...
Yeah, there you go. Hey, that new version of 2.0 is out, and it's like twice as fast for the code plug stuff. I think you've been messing with it. I'm not sure. You've been doing the old one or the new one?
I think I got the one. Oh, I have to take a look at the version. I know there's CTS-16, isn't there?
Yeah, that's the one that everybody's in love with. And I can see why, it's just fast. But 2.0, big write-up on it on one of the forums, so I downloaded it. And it is faster, I have to say that. It is faster.
Yeah, I think I downloaded it, but I got to check it again. If not, I can download it on my next login.
Yeah, it's worth grabbing. I'll show it to you tonight.
Yeah, definitely.
I can let you go for a minute. I'll be back. Probably going to take me about 10 to 15 minutes to do this project. I'm on the road, so I'll throw my call back out. You're still in P25 coverage area, right?
Yeah, I'm in P25. I can jump over there.
All right. When I get back in, I'll call you over there. W8V.
WD8KLO, the mobile.
Hey, that's good, kid. WD8KLL.
WD8KLL. KFHDIC. WD8KLL. KFHDIC.
Doing okay. On my way to physical therapy, so maybe I'll feel better. Or worse.
Well, physical therapy feels great, and then about a day later, then you feel bad. I know the feeling I feel for you, but there are benefits to it, and I stand by them.
Yeah, it's helping. I can feel some difference already, but the main issues I need still are still bother me quite a bit. Just hoping they'll subside.
Well, did you have shoulder surgery or did you have ACDS surgery?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. They had the two discs taken out of my neck. and they were crushing against my spinal cord.
Did they go through the back or go through the front?
Front. The back is only for like extreme cases, I guess.
Okay. All right. Then that's ACDF, anterior cervical discectomy infusion. So I had two discs between 4 and 5 and 5 and 6. And then they put in a titanium plate to keep them from popping out, I guess.
Yeah, I think they had, what, that 3 and 4 removed, I think. I'm not sure. But anyways, so the biggest issue is after the surgery, a lot of shoulder pain, tremendous shoulder pain. Couldn't get comfortable. And it's still there somewhat, but it's subsided quite a bit. I guess the cutting of those muscles and playing around with those nerves, it caused a lot of inflammation. It takes quite a bit of time to for them to calm down.
100% correct. It took me a little while. I mean, I went back to work after 6 weeks, but it was late duty for about another 4. And then, but it took me a good month and a half, maybe even longer, to be able to swallow whole foods.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't take me that long. I mean, it's 5 weeks out for me right now, as of today. And, yeah, I still find if I take too big a chunks, it's still, like, it gets stuck in there, and I got to really work to get it down. So a little bit of that, and I know my voice is still a little raspy, some people have told me, so I don't know if it's going to stay that way or change or get better.
It'll get better, believe me. Yeah, the mine, like I said, yours is 3 and 4, so that's a little bit more intrusive. So mine was 5, you know, between 4 and 6. And, but yeah, it took a little while for me to be able to swallow, stop taking such big bites of something, you know, or drinking a lot of fluids that keep my mouth being dried out of my throat from being swollen. And it slowly subsided. I have problems once in a blue moon, but you kind of get used to it, you know, because now you got that metal plate or something, you know, pushing into your esophagus. And so it's not going straight down anymore. There's kind of like a small curve to it. But yeah, you get those muscles start moving again and keep your shoulders moving. You'll get better in time.
Yeah, I found what really works good is that BioFreeze. I'm using a lot of that. Helps. But, man, there was some time, about a week after the surgery, and I could barely move my arms in any position that was comfortable. I had to, laying down, it was painful. I had to, like, in my bed to look, bolster my back up. And almost sleep in a sitting position to get any kind of comfort.
That's crazy. I was in a neck brace flying up there for about 6 weeks. And it kept my neck stable. Didn't strain any muscles. Took it off for a little bit of exercise here and there. But most of the time I wore it, and I didn't have as much neck pain.
Yeah, well, I didn't know neck brace. I think I mentioned the Cleveland Clinic doesn't believe, says it's better without it. So I haven't had the neck pain as an issue. It's just shoulder. It's been the real problem. All right, I'm where I'm going. I'm at the PT building, so talk to you later. K8PR, have a good day.
All right, work those muscles in PT. It's good for you. Slowly you'll get rid of it. Ask them about dry needling, too, see if they do it. That sometimes helps with the pain. Have a good one, KGO.
What'd you call it?
Dry needling. It's like it's acupuncture. And they target the nerves that are killing you, and it helps settle them down. If they do it, see if they can do it as part of your therapy. I paid extra for mine because it wasn't part of my therapy, and it helped the nerves in my neck and in my shoulder from the rotator cuff.
Yeah, I don't think they do that here, but my wife was mentioning something about checking out acupuncture. I don't know. I should do some research on that. All right, catch you later, KBR.
Yeah, look into it. Acupuncture works. KDO and do a therapy. 7-3.
Good afternoon. What's shaking?
Just walking to the mailbox.
Now, do you guys have like a community mailbox area up at the corner or just one at the end of your driveway? How does that work?
Everybody's mailboxes are all clustered at the near the entrance to the subdivision, so you gotta either drive your car there, go for a walk, and Pumpy, he's got a lot of energy, so this is the perfect time to take her out.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense. And so what happens if they've got something, you know, first of all, your box, is each one of your boxes big enough for, you know, the standard package, USPS packages? And if not, what do? They have to actually come to your house for those?
Yeah, at the beginning, they had to come to the house and drop off the packages, but then I guess they gave them the keys at some point. Now they leave a key in their little mailbox if it doesn't fit. So if it's bigger than the little storage boxes on the bottom where they give you the key for, then they'll bring it to your house.
Oh, that's cool. So if you go in your mailbox, you see a key, then you know you got a package. You go down below, find the package, then I guess leave the key in the box that you pulled it from.
Once you open the box, The key stays in there. The only people that can take the key out are the postal people. So yeah, that's what they do. Amazon used to ship a lot to USPS, so it was very annoying. But now the Amazon trucks come through here regularly, just like everybody else.
Cool. Yeah, we got the mailbox at the end of our driveway. You know, we're on a dirt road with long driveways, and so they just—I'm sure they like our street a hell of a lot better than the subdivision where they got to go up to every single house. That's crazy.
Yeah, my old neighborhood, and probably a lot of neighborhoods in Warren, they had a guy, walking house to house, and not only did they have to do that by foot, then they would go, like, oh, they got packages, they would have to make a special stop to your house. They would go all the way back to their truck and drive to everybody's individual houses.
Well, I heard that they just reported, like, $8 billion worth of losses. And that's down from last year. So it's like, holy cow. So they're going to have to do something. I still think they could deliver a viable last mile service and package delivery, but they got to have some serious changes in order for that to happen.
I would just like to get my stuff in general. It doesn't even have to be on time.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the government had it back in its early days, and then it went private, and it didn't. We're still government taxes still bail it out and all that stuff. So it's a weird system. But go ahead, Dakota.
Good afternoon, gents. I just sat down at my desk and heard you talking. Wanted to chime in and say hello.
Yep, hello. Well, I couldn't figure out why you were so noisy, and I scanned over to Romeo. But, I've never had a problem with postal service. I prefer that. I ship and receive shipments from them all the time. Maybe that's because, where I'm at or something like that. Maybe if you get more rural, it gets a little less reliable. But I've had more trouble with Amazon and UPS and the other carriers than I've ever had with postal service, so... I guess it depends.
I thought Dakota had a big power mic or something. Like, did you get a 9700?
Wait, was I loud or noisy?
Wow, you're louder than you normally are, and you're usually loud, but...
Didn't sound bad. You're just... You had a lot of audio, but it didn't sound overdriven or bad or anything.
I know power doesn't do anything, but I went down to 5 watts, and I'm pretty sure the antenna's not going to do anything either, so I don't know.
No, you're fine. It's just the audio levels of the receiver and all that stuff, I think, is what Sean was trying to say.
Yeah, definitely no problem at all. It sounds good, actually, but just louder than I'm used to hearing you, but no problem. And a little different, really, really clear. So what radio is that if you're working from the desk at work? Is that the 75?
No, I'm playing hooky all week, so this is my 705.
Well, there you go. The 705 is a little powerhouse.
Yeah, I'm just going in through my node because I'm using my little mini Bofang. So I don't know how it sounds. Hopefully it sounds okay.
You sound fine to me. And, yeah, the 705 is like the Swiss Army knife of radios. I love this thing.
I do like mine. I wonder sometimes if that new Yaesu would be all that. and a box of chocolates, you know, as well. I don't know why it wouldn't be, but, you know, and it has a couple of extra features, if you will, that make it interesting. But, Dave, I know you have one of those new ones, the FT1, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, aside from its ability to have the amp and the, you know, the Ultima version or whatever, that aside, just radio to radio, 10 watt to 10 watt radio. I know it's got the dual watch, which is kind of cool if you need that. And what was the other big thing? I can't remember what it was. There was something else that it did that the other did not. But you've had both, right? You had a 705, did you not?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is the dual watch. Being able to listen to, scan the bands on shortwave and then monitor UHF, VHF. You know, that could be powerful for people. Of course, you could just put an HT next to it, right? And if somebody's calling, you could just switch over. But I don't know. The biggest issue for me right now is the cat control is not mature yet. Things like being able to control both VFOs and switching, and it's a little wonky right now. So I hooked up my 710 back to my desk, and I've got like a little mini PC hooked up to that, and that's been working great for me. So I'm just going to delegate the FTX to, you know, portable, and then, you know, walking around the house or whatever. Well, maybe not walking around the house, but my 2-meter 70-centimeter antenna is upstairs, and then my HF antenna is downstairs in my office. So I'll probably just use it for UHF, VHF, to be honest.
My 705 is basically that. It's just been a glorified 2-meter 70-centimeter radio.
Yeah, mine is generally listening to the ball game, you know, and now that, you know, whenever there was a Tiger game on, I'd usually have that lit up on my 705. And I've got a board in my 7300 so that I can feed my antenna, whatever antenna I'm up to, I can feed to the 705. And so, you know, I can operate HF on the 7300, but the 705 acts as a second receiver. And I actually took that Stream Deck that I got from Larry and got a little program going with the Stream Deck so I can do A equals B, A/B, so I can actually operate the two radios like individual VFOs, dual watch. So there's my dual watch, the 7300 and the 705.
Yeah, I mean, 705 is probably good enough for most people. You know, if you really want, and then, like, if you want Fusion, it's got Fusion, the FTX one, but I would just tell people to get a 705 right now because there's probably lots of deals and people are dumping them. You know, not dumping them because they're bad, but just that either they've changed their minds or they actually did go to an FTX one, so those people are going to want to get rid of their 705. But then again, people who have the 705 and then they get the FTX1, a lot of them keep their 705s, like especially like those YouTuber people.
There's definitely pros and cons to both.
Well, I'm in no hurry to upgrade because I don't want to spend the money, and I really, really still love my 705. If there was something in particular my 705 didn't do, some itch it didn't scratch or some thing I needed, then I might consider selling it and ponying up the extra money for that. But I'm real happy with the 705. There's just really nothing it doesn't do for me, so I just hold on to that. I was playing around with the 7300 a bit over. I got my HF antenna all tricked out, working really nice, better than ever, and so I was playing around a bit. The bands were pretty good, and they were really crowded and congested with the contest and all that, so I got to see how it performed under those circumstances. And 7300 leaves a little bit to be desired as far as, you know,
narrowing things down and sort of things out, you know, cutting things out, but not as good as my best radios. But it wasn't bad. It held its own, really did. For a guy like me who's mostly, you know, pretty, you know, apathetic and casual about it, I honest to God, as much rig as I really need. And the 705 is just, you know, the problem is the 10 watts, or otherwise I'd just run that. But, you know, and it's a little small, you know, for home use. 7300 is just big enough to you know, be able to tool around a little bit. Cool stuff. I wouldn't mind a bigger, more significant rig at some point, but I'm in no hurry. I'm going to wait until I get a real shack set up instead of just a spot in the corner of a room, you know, that's kind of makeshift. If I get a real nice workbench and a real nice shack set up at some point, then, you know, then maybe I'll be looking at 7610s or something else. How about a 7760? Does that sound like I need one of those?
No. I think you hit the nail on the head. We gotta just do what Greg does. You wait for Greg to do something, because Greg always, like, does the research, and he's the only one out of all of us, I think, that saved the most money. He just has a 7610 and a 9700, and there you go. He's done.
He is super meticulous with his decisions, and that's why he doesn't have to sell anything, versus me, who's gone through all of my radios twice. And I've finally come back full circle to where I started.
Yeah, I got radio after radio, you know, just, you know, especially when you start counting the vintage stuff and amps and all that. I don't need any of it. I got to thinking, if I just sold all of this stuff, I could have one flagship radio, the best one ever, you know, and, you know, some sort of uber super amp. I could probably have a 7760 in a PW2. You know, if I sold all my stuff, but I don't know. What's the fun in that? What's the fun in being fiscally responsible?
Yep, that's right. Well, I mean, you wouldn't know as much as you know if you didn't have all those toys to play with. So experience. You know, you gained experience, and whether it be bad experience from spending the money or good experience from knowing how all these radios work.
That's what gets me. I gotta try the new stuff and play with the new toys. That's my favorite part about it. So here we are. Speaking of, my USB-C board finally shipped for the 705. You guys both did that. Was that a hard upgrade, or is it pretty simple? Take it apart and drop it in.
It was pretty easy
it's
for me.
Simple.
How about you, Sean?
The only thing I'd recommend is because the opening is cramped a little bit, you know, just kind of triple-check that. And I don't know if I plugged in a USB-C connector to it to get it aligned right before I snugged down the screws. I think I might have on a recommendation. I don't know. But you just want to, that's the only thing you got to watch for, is the USB-C is a little bit larger than the micro USB, and you know, so you know, you can. I've heard people, you know, it wasn't in the hole just right, and there was a little interference. That's about the only caveat, but in general, it was easy peasy.
Yeah, that was pretty much my experience. I forgot about that. Yeah, just line up, take a USB cord, you know, unplugged, of course, and just like plug it in when you're going to install it, just plug it in on the other side, and that will help you align it, and then you put the screws in.
I've never opened up a 705. How's that in comparison to opening up, say, a mobile?
I don't remember anything raising any flags. It was pretty easy, pretty straightforward. And I don't know, was there any cable, you know, was there any cables you have to be careful of not to pinch or anything, Dave? I can't recall.
Yeah, the worst was when I had to replace the screen, because I dropped it and shattered the screen and had to get a new screen, and I put that in myself. And when I put it into my cell, there's a ribbon, but you're not going to have to deal with that. You're only going to have to deal with that if you're going to, one, either mod it or, you know, Mars mod it, or if you're going to, if you had to replace the screen. Because I had to, like, take, it's layered really nicely, so you just have to put the screws, you know, remember where you put the screws and all that stuff, take pictures. But for this USB-C mod, you don't have to worry about any of that. It's because it's on the side. You just have to get the back cover off, I think, is all you needed to do.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I got the notice today that it was shipped, so I kind of forgot all about it, and then I was even going back and forth. It's like I have not even plugged it. Oh, I lied. It will be nice. Plugging it in the program, it is really the main thing. And I don't do a lot of digital stuff, but I have, like, one quality micro USB cable that I always have to keep track of just to plug this thing into a computer, so that will be a nice change. Did they change anything with the charging on that? Like, can you actually properly charge the radio from USB, or is it kind of like the other USB-C radios where it's, like, 5 volts and you get what you get?
Yeah, it does not make it a PD.
You can charge.
If you're trying to ask if it's going to make it a PD charge or not.
Remember, I was having a little trouble with mine.
There are other ways to do if you want to do PD charging and use the barrel connector on the 705.
They run it off that or
something.
They make
US.
I don't know.
You can do a USB.
Yes, you can charge it.
Barrel with PD, but that one's a little more challenging. It's not worth it, I don't think, in my opinion.
Oh, we double bubbled. I just was saying, what was I saying? No, I can't remember. What was I saying? I heard most of both of you, and the last thing I heard Sean say was there's some caveats, and then Dave was saying that it's not going to turn it into a PD system. It'll still charge, but it's going to charge basically like it's charging now, so the best way is through the barrel connector and just do the 12-volt charging. Yeah, I think I got the gist of it from both of you. Okay, yeah, I'm texting with Eric here. I'm just turning down his street to his work. And I didn't want to pass by before I got sidetracked there. But, yeah, you can charge it from there. There's some caveats you got to look into. But, all right, I'm just pulling up here at Eric's place of work. I'm going to stop and grab something from him. I'll be back. W8FU.
All righty. Yeah, the only thing I could find, so Dakota, there is a way to do it, because what's his name? Have you ever watched his videos? It's KM4ACK. KM4ACK. He does a lot of stuff with the Kenwood radios, and he's got a 75 and all that stuff. He's the one that I found. They make this little USB to PD adapter, power pole to, I don't remember what it was. It was some kind of adapter that adapted the USB, and it had the PD output, and then it went into the barrel connector in the radio, and then you could get the 12 volts and like the 4 amps or whatever, and you're assuming that the 705 is gonna take the higher, be able to charge faster through that barrel. I don't know if it can do that, if it charges faster through that or it's the same as the USB.
Any DBF. I've never really tested that. It's a good point. I mean, it's always plugged into my power supply on my desk, so. Or if I'm portable, it's plugged into a battery, so it really doesn't matter. I was just curious, but yeah. So at least I'll have that, because I have a bunch of USBs plugged in on my desk, so I can either charge or program. Neither of which I do often, because like I said, it's always hooked up to the power supply, and I really don't change frequencies too much, especially now that I got that antenna up. I know what I can hit and what I can't, so I think it's going to stay kind of where it's at.
Yeah, so that's maybe one thing that the FTX one does a little bit better. The battery itself actually has a PD USB-C. It'll do 45 watts charging. So it still takes 6 hours to charge the battery, though. But it can charge while it's docked in the radio. It can charge outside of the radio completely with USB-C, like if you had a second battery for it. But, you know, that internal battery is only going to give you 6 watts if you're just going to play with that. You know, I look at that as, you know, you want to play receive, or if you're doing CW, you know, you want to do 6-watt QRP. That would be good for that. But if you have the Optima, you know, and you're docked, you know, you're getting power that way as well and charging the battery. So there's like 3 ways you can charge that battery.
Yeah, I've got these amps here, which is cool because it pushes it past the power of a mobile radio, not quite the power of a 9700, but I think they serve their purpose. But, I mean, I'm on 5 watts right now, so for repeater stuff, I really don't need anything. It's all the, and even the simplex stuff. I was simplexing with Greg earlier. I think it was on 5 or 10 watts, and it was like full quieting, S3, crystal clear. You got a little packet loss on that last one. What did you say? No copy. I don't know if you're dropping packets or if that the radio's out of range or what, but I did not get any of that.
Hey, F8S, how's this? So I think the link went down.
Oh, yeah, that's way better.
Yeah, that's probably my end. I don't know. But I was asking, you did simplex to Greg at 5 watts?
I can't remember if it was 5 or 10, but yeah, we were just talking on VHF simplex like nothing.
Yeah, and then the big dumpster pile where they filled in the landfill that they park at, probably got a bunch of metal pieces in there blocking your signal to me.
Well, that's what we were talking about. I got another 15 foot almost out of that antenna, so maybe that might have made a difference with us. I don't know. We'll see.
Yep, we'll see. All right, I'm going to clear out of here. I got to finish some work stuff, and then I got to drive my daughter to her music lesson. So I will chat with you later somewhere here or there. KFA.F will listen out.
All right, man, sounds good. Yeah, I'll be monitoring for most of the evening here. I don't plan on going anywhere. Any BBF.
KAWJ, you got a buck hanging?
No, it's been a slow opener. I saw 2 or 3 deer Saturday, Sunday. Passed on an 8-point so my buddy's kid could shoot it, and not a lot going on, so I took today off. I'll be back out tomorrow.
Oh, bummer. Well, I don't feel long enough. There's no hunting over here in this whole area, and the last, I don't know, 3 weeks I've been seeing bucks all over the place, nice big bucks, lots of deer. Since the opener, haven't seen a thing.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's been frustrating, so that's why I was like, you know what, I'm not going to burn myself out already, and took today off, got some stuff done around the house, got my antenna up higher, and knocked out some other odds and ends projects, and now I'm just sitting at my desk about to eat some dinner.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if you were at home, because you're just booming in here loud and clear, louder than I remember talking to you before, nice and clear. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, Sean said the same thing, and so did Dave. I don't know. I didn't change anything other than I got my antenna up higher, but this is the same radio that I'm always on when I'm at home. I don't know, maybe it's just you guys are used to hearing me mobile, or mobile with a small, cheap, underpowered radio. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think every time I visited before you was always mobile, heading to or from work there. But I won't keep you from dinner there. I just heard you out there, and I just wanted to know if you had a bug down yet or not. Good luck there, bud.
All right. Yeah, I'll probably be back out here later, testing out some things. So, yeah, I'll let you know if I get one. I appreciate it. And, yeah, probably, I don't know if I'm going to hunt tomorrow morning. I don't know. As soon as I get one, though, I'll be sure to let you guys know. I'll talk at you later. NADBF.
All right. Catch you later, young man. Wish I could get there, too. I usually spent the whole 15 days out in the woods. Before daylight till after dark. Just couldn't help myself. Catch you later, KEWOJ.
KEWOJ, KE4ZYQ.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
As one person once said many years ago, I'm doing. Did you get the text that that you should have got there seconds ago?
Well, I have to look. I didn't hear my phone ding. Did you send me something?
Yeah, I sent you a photo of two of those critters you were just talking about.
Oh, yeah, I see that. It looks like the photo you showed me before. Well, that's good. Like I told Dakota there, I've been seeing all kinds of deer around here, and ever since the opener there, I haven't seen a thing.
Well, if I could have dropped one of those two this morning, I could have had me one. If I didn't make any noise when I did it, nobody would know.
Meyer over there in Commerce, and the way I go a couple miles of a gravel road at the end. Get in the one road is a gravel. Go through the kind of the boonies there, the shop there, and they feed the deer every day. So usually in the morning there's a whole bunch of them standing there waiting. The other morning there was six of them kind of lined up staring at the door waiting for them to come and feed them. And even that place was empty.
Yep, KE4ZYQ, so I hope you're doing okay, considering. Anything new and exciting?
No, same old thing. At least tomorrow I'm going to see that cardiologist. I've been waiting a couple months to see there. But it's way down on 275 and 7 miles, so not looking forward to that.
Well, I wish you a good outcome. I sincerely, truthfully do. I'm just sitting here waiting for a package from Amazon. A couple small things I ordered, nothing major. Some new clips for my Bofang clips on the radio. HTs, all the clips on the back of most of my radios broke.
I quit doing business with them after the last ordeal. with Amazon, but I didn't drop them because then it'd be done and over with kind of thing, and I like to just keep them bugging me all the time. Hey, we can't get your Prime payments anymore. Come back to Prime. We're the greatest. And I just laugh at them. But, hopefully it turns out good in the morning there. The last cardiologist I seen wanted me to immediately go to the hospital kind of thing. He saw all kinds of dollar signs. One of them's gonna make a fortune here, but it's just who can you trust anymore? KEWOJ.
Me, I'll tell you. I'll bring my little rubber thing and tap on your knee, and fill your ribs and say cough, and I'll tell you exactly what's wrong.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. Did you break that other Mount Clemens repeater there, young man?
No, I noticed it was broken this morning, and I've been so busy with stuff, I just didn't get a chance to call Fred. I'll have to send him a message.
tell them to bump it.
Yep, go ahead, Rick.
Pick you up on that. If you treat me like you treat your radios there, I'll probably get better care than I get out of them doctors.
No, man, you don't want me. The way I treat my radios, they're always scratched up and dusty, and I mean they work, you know. So, I'm not picky, and I set things on top of them. And, yeah, I'm not good when it comes to that.
Yeah, I don't know what I do, but I've had three of them had to be repaired. So I think you know how that is, there, Rick. KU4ZYQ.
Anyway, Jill,
go ahead. Yeah, I said, Rick, you know how it is over here with radios with me. I'm sending them back. That awful one.
Man, I'll tell you what, the sheets at 12 Mile Mound Road is going up like gangbusters. We'll be having sheets hot dogs in no time.
There's a building going up over here by the West Bluefield Police Department. It's enormous, man. They've been working on it forever. And for a long time, we couldn't figure out if there wasn't any signs saying what it was all about. And I think it was Phil, your buddy Phil, there finally told us a while back. It's a great school. A doggone great school. It's enormous.
Yeah, KU4ZYQ. I'm surprised they're building this time of year, unless they do it quickly. Because they've got to outrun the weather. What do you think, Sean?
Oh, they build year-round. I think they just want to get their shell up, I think. But, yeah, heck, they'll keep plugging away. Our big building by my shop, that's going to be full tilt all winter. I don't know if they'll have it closed up by the time the really nasty stuff gets in here. Probably not. Although I am seeing some walls, outer walls going up. So maybe that's the goal. Just get the outer walls up so that they got at least a sheltered area to work in.
Yep, that seems to be what's going on over here. They're getting the roof and walls, and it looks like the whole front's all going to be glass. So. But yeah, I'm sure they'll be working in there all winter.
Yeah, KU4ZYQ. I'm on the 2.075. Is there another one, Sean, linked to this besides the Mount Clemens that's out of service? Because I got this repeater at zero. I got it at 4/0. How about that?
Well, from where you're at, the 442.175 is possible, 442.175, the 442.6, of course, and the 442.225. So all three of those, they're all PL-123, but all three of those you should have a shot at anyhow. All of them better than the 075. But you never know, propagation being it what it is.
Yeah, I don't know what the frequency is. I'm on the TC8LTS. You can hear me all right.
Well, you kind of wavered there a little bit. I got you in there. I heard you. I'm going to try to program that one there, guys. So I'm going to just say 7-3, maybe come back if you're still in there, Rick or Sean. KU4Z, like you, clear. Over to you, Sean.
All right. Yeah, if you go to k8fbi.org, you can see a dashboard with all the repeaters, and they usually have the frequency in the city. So, you know, you can... I think Richmond, Detroit, and Warren are all possibles for you. Give it a try. The one that Rick's on right now is the 442.175 in Detroit. That's got real nice footprint.
and we just say TJ's machine, but it's the KC8LTF, and the 2.225 is Richmond, which may not sneak down. It's hard to say, but anyhow, good luck. I am about 2 blocks from home, so I may have one more just to say I have arrived and jump out. W8FU.
Okay, Sean, I just swapped over to 43732, so I'm on one of the nodes there. But before you go, I didn't mean to kind of pass over it, but you're having a building, you got a building going on somewhere?
Yeah, at work. I'm on the campus of a rather famous building, and it's getting expanded significantly, and that construction is all going on at the moment.
Oh, okay, cool. I got you. Well, that's kind of neat. All that'll help in the long run, unless it's going to raise your rent or whatever in that area. Probably raise taxes in that area.
Nope. They put it before the people, and the people said no. So they funded it themselves through a series of grants and things like that, and bonds and stuff like that. So it's all paid for. It's not to say they won't come around the backside and try to raise some money, you know. But it won't specifically be for that. And they were told, uh-uh. All right. Anyhow, I'm here. W8FU.
Okay, Sean, always a pleasure. Thanks for the info. You have yourself a good night, and we'll catch you down the road. KE8WOJ.
KCAKJOWAB.
KF8CWB, mobile and listening.
KF8CWB, KCKGO, how are you tonight?
Doing good, how are you?
You are a new voice on the FBI network.
Yeah, I got my license back almost a year ago. But I just got my mobile set up, put in my van.
Well, congrats on your ticket. You sound great. 5-9, KCAKJO, Major's Tom, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
You have a good evening, too. KF8CWB73.
W-A-V-A-K-C-A-K-G-O.
K-C-A-K-G-O, W-A-B.
I am leaving Canton as we speak. I'll be at your GTH probably about between 1800 and 1830, somewhere around there. Is that still good?
As you get closer, I'll let you know if it turns into be a problem. As of right now, it's not.
All right, sounds good. I take 96 to 94 in that direction.
Okay, I'm at a meeting. I'll call you back later. WBD.
KCKGO.
W8 Media Mobile.
I didn't catch the call. Try it again. WD.
What? Oh, what's up, man? A little scratchy, but we'll make it work.
Yeah, I'm getting the end of this rope and to the beginning of the next one. Might be a little scratchy for this. Drill holes in the case and all that other stuff.
Yeah, things turn off, so once I get it working, I'm just going to zip tie it to the backside of the tie, because I got this really nice aluminum case for it. It's got cooling fins and everything, so I don't need a fan. And I had it running, you know, I had it plugged in all day while I was messing around with it over the weekend, and she barely got hot, so she's got a nice cool touch to her.
Yeah, I was playing with mine over the weekend. They bought a new fan for it a while ago. When I originally built it, I used a 3A and kind of sits back further in the case. So I used that to put a small fan in the case to blow across the device. And when I put it to a 3B, I just put the fan on top, and the thing is noisy as all get out. And it was a brushless fan, so it didn't like any sort of variable speed. It wanted 5 volts or else, and I had to, I ended up changing it to like a 30 millimeter fan that's much quieter, and I went with a brush fan so I could throw PWM control on it and change the speed on it so it wasn't screaming or quiet, you know.
Oh, I get that. The fan on my Alenco, when it starts hitting that temperature, I can hear it go off. It's quiet, and it's automatic, so I left it as automatic, so it knows when it gets warm, it'll turn on itself automatically. But the radio stays pretty cool. The Motorola, my goodness, that one stays cool, and the tape still is cool, because the whole body is a heat sink. But the loudest fan I have here in the van is one for the AC unit, and two for the 1,000-watt inverter behind my back. When I use the microwave and, on it, it kicks off.
Yeah, the Sherry hat, by default, it just gives you two pins, and your full bore, it's just straight 5 volts. It gives you, so there's no control on it. I wired it up with a diode and a transistor so that I could control it with the GPIO on the Pi. So I've got it set where I've got a little script that it monitors the temperature, and when it gets above a certain temp, it kicks the fan on, and then every time it transmits, it'll kick on and then run for 30 seconds after it unkeys and then shut off.
The only thing I gotta get is a Raspberry Pi power supply. I'll probably pick that up this week. I think Dakota said he had, a couple, but because I plugged it in as a computer, and says, "Oh, there's not enough power." So I have a USB power supply, for a Dell laptop. So I just plugged it into that, and it ran just fine. No squawks, and wasn't mad at me in any way.
Yeah, the Pi 5s are power hungry. They, you gotta have a 3-watt power or 3-amp power supply on them. So, yeah, they're pretty hungry, so, you don't necessarily have to have the Raspberry Pi one, but, you'll need one with it, a little bit more juice than your normal cell phone charger.
Oh, yeah, I got a little 1,000 milliamps is not going to work, but I got another one that's here in my truck that I use to charge my hotspot, so let's see what the push is on that.
Yeah, I got a couple of their bank chargers that like their Anchor that you plug in and give you like 6 USB ports, whatever, and a few of them are Pi outputs, so I can have several Pis running all at once, all one power supply.
Well, that's cool. Maybe I just go to the office and get another Dell USB-C power supply and talk to the IT guy and say, "Hey, I need one of these." And because it's going to stay at the house anyways, so. And I think high power USB anyways.
Yeah, USB-C has higher power, but there's many different variants on it. You got the USB-C PD too, the power delivery where you can get like 12 volts out of the thing too. So it's there's all sorts of different variants on it that you just gotta get a charger that's compatible with it. So the IT guy, you lost your laptop charger.
Yeah, I'm pretty good with them, so he's never found getting me one.
Yeah, we first started going back to the office, somebody decided they needed needed my laptop charger more than I did, so went to a meeting, came back to my desk, and my charger was gone. I was like, what the heck? All the desks now have docks. At first, we didn't have monitors. They just you had a seat and a desk, and you bring in your own charger and work from your laptop. But, now they've got docks and dual monitors, and getting us more and more feature comforts. Pretty soon, we'll actually have chairs.
It was supposed to be hotel space, and the desk goes up and goes down, and they prefer you to stand. Oh, yes, that IT guy right here on a caddy, TCP IP. Geez, I wonder what he does.
Yeah, there's a few people that have brought in, like, little standing desk things that you sit on top of the desk, but, I can't do that personally. If I stand too long, my back is for certain, as I got bad feet, so if I stand for 8 hours a day, I'd be dead.
Yeah, well, I walked a good length of a warehouse today, and went from the front all the way to the back where the rail cars come in, and I'm like, I'll just get my steps in, since I'm not with my coworker. It was with my coworker we'd be getting steps in, so not going to stop just because he isn't here. So, I'm like, I'll walk back there, no big deal.
Yeah, it seems like most of the time I'm moving, it's not as bad, but just standing, not moving anywhere, that's going to get bad.
Oh, I agree. I said my back isn't the greatest. And having flat feet doesn't help any with it, you know, if I got arch supports. But I wear work boots all day long, you know, so when I'm working and stuff like that, my feet tend to get a little sore every so often.
Yeah, it's like the flat feet, orthotics, but orthotics help, but not a cure-all. Still gets to me.
Hey, KJ, what gets me is sometimes some of the long driving that I do, you know, my back will hurt a little bit, or just the position in the van, you know, how I sit and stuff, because you're almost sitting upright, you know, and the brake pedal is in a weird position, but, you know, it works, I guess you could say. If I sit too far back, then I can't reach the steering wheel because then I got to stretch my arm. And driving like that for a while, it tends to hurt the shoulder. So, I get you. I feel you.
Yeah, driving isn't usually too bad for me. It's because I'm usually sitting, so putting the weight on the feet that does it.
Well, and my coworker and I, we got to go, so, you know, we got a distance to run or whatever, like Grand Rapids or Cadillac or, you know, Petoskey. You know, we know where all the rest stops are, so we'll go so far, and then we'll usually stop at McConaughey and take a break there. And then we head up, and then when we get into up to Valentine Road, you know, then we'll gravel spot there or whatever, you know, try to just, I mean, it makes the drive a little bit longer, but, you know, just enough to stretch the feet, empty the bladder kind of thing.
Yeah, that can help sometimes, just to get off the Uber a little. Sometimes I'm just the stop to get gas, and maybe eat, and so you get the long 10-hour drives. They don't want to make it any longer.
Yeah, like I said, I don't mind the drive. I mean, I said this, you know, this van that I got here, I've already got almost 7,200 miles on it.
Big part of the day is windshield time, isn't it? So, yeah. Coming up, next month will be a year on this thing, and I got 22,000 miles on it. So, I get lots of windshield time just got driving to and from work.
With a little bit I had, when I get that earlier this year, and when I gave it up, I got the big one. I had, 62,000 miles on that one, plus 7,000 on this one. So then almost 70,000 miles in less than a year.
Yeah, that'll do it. Almost time to order a new one. We get 1 year leases on ours. I got this one in December, so I think in December will be when I can order my new one.
Yeah, they'll start ordering this new van. It's probably about 80,000 to 100,000 miles. And by the time they come in, like me, I think every van I've had that I've turned in, when I get a new one, I've had probably about 116,000 on them. And I lost count of how many vans I've had in 20-some-odd years.
Yeah, they used to be 2-year leases, and it was 2017, maybe 2018, they decided that they get more sales if they give us 1-year leases, so they, switch it to 1 year, so every year we get new ones.
Yeah, ours are 2-year leases. Even more, I don't know if it goes by mileage or what. This lady doesn't know how to drive. She's doing 45 in the middle lane. Fry me. Speed up or move over to another lane. Fry me. Yeah, I don't know how it goes. It has to be every 2 years we get a new van or every 80,000 miles, but I pushed all my vans way beyond, you know, the 130, 140 mark.
Yeah, they are there 1 year, and then you get 30,000 miles on it, you can send a picture of your odometer, and they'll let you order a new one. They're trying to keep the sale price up. Too many miles on it, or whatever it gets too old, and they gotta resell it, it'll be worth less.
You know, ours go to auction after so many miles, and we turn it in auction, or somebody from fleet comes and picks it up, and they'll drive it to wherever. They went with a vehicle to blow transmission, and end up somewhere in Romulus on a train. Shipped out, but we used to have our own, you know, when we were all one big company, when we were all ADT. We had our own auction house and everything, so all the vans, all the service vehicles, install vehicles, all went to the auction house in Dearborn. You know, but they stopped that a long time ago, and now we're, you know, we have a contract fleet service.
can buy them out at the end, but that usually ends up being cheaper to buy a new car and not have miles on it. But other than that, I think they go to a dealer only auction place that you can buy them from our like there's like a they stay in our system for a while and you can buy other people's lease cars, but after that they go to a dealer only auction and sold out to a dealer and somebody else gets your car.
That's how my daughter got her truck and my son got his truck. Was do a dealer only auction because we have a friend that owns a dealership, so, and they set it up for my daughter, and my daughter went through it all, and she paid the auction price only, and then, of course, you know, title license and tax and all that, but she got a really sweet deal, and the only thing that she had to do was drive to the auction place and pick it up and Flint. So she brought all the dealer paperwork. She says, I'm here from such and such dealer, here to pick up a vehicle. And she signed all the paperwork, they gave her the keys, she went back there, picked it up, they signed it out of the lot, and then, boom, she was home with it. She got a really good deal on it.
Yeah, hopefully it was there for a good reason. The lemons that get bought back, they'll get sold in those dealer-only auctions, or they'll have cars that they can't sell as new if there was something wrong with the manufacturing, like they've had some that paint sealer robot didn't run, and they built the entire vehicle, and they had to goop it up with some caulk that they couldn't paint, run it through paint again, and so you get some of those stuff that they screwed up in the plant, and they will fix somehow and then just sell it as a disclosure unit for a really good deal, you know, so it's not something you have to be careful of.
Well, hers was from Canada, trying to convert the kilometers to miles for her, you know, through the dashboard. So she's got the block heater on it, you know, it was all built and designed for, you know, Canadian weather and stuff. And so far, it's pretty good. It goes up every once in a while, and every now when, you know, she washed it, and then the sensor goes dumb on her, and then she shuts it off and starts it back up, and then it's fine. But besides that, she had it for a couple of years, and when she got it, only had like 102,000 miles on it.
Yeah, that's not bad. That was one of the most of our cars. You just push a button on the dash, and it'll flip it to miles. Just all electronic now. You just push the button and then it changes the numbers. It's a little lemon that, you know, the dealers can't figure out. They'll bring them into engineering. We'll have to figure out what's wrong with the car. And sometimes it's something not terrible, and we'll sit and it'll be good car for somebody. There's one unit that went into the dealer and broke into it or something. I don't remember why. They had none of the heaters in the body. Or I think it was just the roof or whatever. I was like, yeah, was like, we're not signing up, but you guys filling this car. You need to strap this one. We're not Roger, we're not dealing with that.
Well, the thing is, you go to a dealer and they have tail damage. I mean, okay, so it's a little dinged up. They can't sell it down because it's damaged. But, you know, you get it for salvage price sometimes. You know, I think I saw there was a YouTube I watched or something. I've got a brand new Ford F-150. And there's something goofy that was wrong with it. But they bought it at auction and got it fixed. It was practically a brand new truck, and only had, you know, the delivery miles on it. It was something silly. And they just modified it, and boom, you know, brand new truck for, like, salvage price.
Yeah, that just happened to us recently, last summer. Down in Mexico, they had a big tailstorm that damaged every car that was in the yard, and there was a couple hundred cars they had to fix somehow, and they had to, they were asking us how we should fix them, and all that stuff, so, yeah, that'll happen. I actually had our first new car that we bought, we brought it down to St. Louis, and never seen it hail that hard, and every single horizontal surface on that car had a dent on it. Body shop pulled every single dent out of it.
And they sold it as what, salvage?
I don't know if they sell them as salvage or they, I don't know, they use the term disclosure unit a lot. Well, probably a disclosure unit or they sold as new, but, you know, we had to do this to it, you know.
Well, he still got a discount on it, so he can't blame the you know, for that. I said my daughter's was, I think they wanted 28 for it, and she put 10 down, so, or somewhere like that. I don't know, she got it for like 20,000, but it was a 2018 F-150 Lariat, so, got the push button start, she got 18-inch wheels on it instead of the factory wheels. Some wind flies on there. It's a pretty heavy duty truck.
Yeah, that sounds like not too bad, especially what the print trucks have been going for lately. Some of the new ones are, I mean, buy a house cheaper.
You know, like that wagon here, what is it, 105 base price? God, forget it. My God, that's more than a house payment.
Yeah, I think that was the higher end model. The regular wagon here was like an 80, but now they're all grand wagon here, so. But even that, too rich for my blood. But yeah, that was the. An old vehicle is meant to be, competing with the high end market, Navigator, Escalades, and all that.
Yeah, I got a 07 Escalade, and I got it from the same dealer that my daughter got her truck, and I took a head truck from, you know, her friend and the dealership. And I said, how much you want for it? He goes, well, I paid six in auction for it. I just put on new rotors and calipers and brakes. So I sell it to you for $8. I'm like, okay, that'll work. So I put $2 down on it. Financed it. That was the cheapest car payment I ever had. First car payment I ever had. And she's still kicking. She burns oil. She's leaky. You know, she's got an aftermarket exhaust on her, but.
Still goes. Yeah, they all burn away when they start getting age on them. Depends on how much. Seems like every older car I've had has been throw a port in every couple months.
Well, I think she's got a valve cover leak. And, I
but she's a 2007. She's got, what, 160,000 miles on her. She's got a real neat Julie. So, she sees my daughter every Friday. My daughter tops it off, fills all the fluids, you know, and then she's good for a while. She's on a bad truck. I just let my wife drive it that way. If anything goes wrong with it, it's her fault. They just replaced the driver's side, not the rotor, the hub. I had to replace that because it was making a lot of noise. And it's brand new, plugged it in and out, says it has a sensor issue for that hub. I'm like, but it drives, it goes, you know, it's all-wheel drive, it'll still work.
Some of those sensor issues, just you gotta, some of the more modern computers, you just gotta go in there and tell it you changed it. And, you need to have the fancy scan tool to do it. Some of the less nice manufacturers, you have to use their software that you have to pay for, and it's, you know, not something the average backyard mechanic can afford.
Yeah, no, I mean, if I drive it out to Wayne where the dealer's at, he can probably clear it. Like, if it's there, the computer just knows, you know, thinks it's not there, but it is there, and the sensor's there. It doesn't mind. I've used my, you know, my neighbor's scan tool, which is like a $300 tool that I bought him. I exclude the memory because I go, oh no, I've still got an issue. I'm like, whatever. So it drives, it does just fine.
Yeah, it might not have traction control or radios, but if it works, it works.
Yeah, he doesn't do a lot of driving, you know, so. She goes shopping on Friday, doctor's appointments, spot it, goes down to her mom's. You know, so I'm not too worried about it.
Yep, sounds like good. Got that worked out. I am pulling in here, so I'm going to say 7-3.
KJO radio test.
NAWRO Richmond. Good test, Tom. You home?
Negative on my Wally's QTH. Just got done programming my node.
Well, if that's it, I'd say it's a success.
All right, I'm going to jump over to 2-6 and see how you hear me. KJO.
Clear. Yeah, I copy you, Tom. Of course, it's a much lighter signal, but you are readable. NAWRO Richmond. And it gets clear over here as well, if I forgot.
KK8RUH.
Did you shoot something?
I thought maybe you'd be out here. No, I didn't shoot anything. We had a couple spikes come in tonight, and there were a couple does, but I'm not ready to shoot a doe yet. Maybe this coming weekend I'll shoot one, but give it a few more sits. And there were some big bucks on camera last week, so I'm just hoping something big comes in.
I think the activity is going to pick up here soon, especially with this cold front coming in.
Yeah, we saw more action this week or tonight than we had, since the opener. So I'm really hoping.
We opted not to hunt tonight, and my buddy came by that I usually hunt with, and he was sitting on my kitchen table, and he's like, "Oh yeah, look at." And he showed me the trail cam pics, and the fields that we sit in were loaded with deer. So, of course, we're not out there, but we'll be out there tomorrow.
Yep, you need to give him a little time to get some action going, and it's gonna happen, right? Are you off tomorrow and Wednesday still?
Yeah, I'm not going back till Thursday. Strategically did that because the next week's Thanksgiving, so that week's all jacked up too.
Yep, I know how that goes. I have tomorrow off. I go back Wednesday, Thursday, and then I'll work from home Friday. And if I play my cards right, I'll sit Friday afternoon if I don't have too much work to do. And then maybe Saturday afternoon. I think we have something to do Sunday, so I'd be thrilled if I got out, three more times in the next few days and just go from there.
The name of the game is you can't shoot a deer if you're not out there.
Yep, I'm not sold on having to shoot a buck, but there was so many good ones around last week that it got me excited. So I'll hold out, a couple more sits for a buck, and then if I don't see one, and I decide I want a doe, I'll take one. There's plenty around, so it's just a matter of what I decide to do at this point.
It all depends. Are you hunting for food, or are you hunting to put something on the wall? Because if you're not hunting for a wall hanger, then yeah, see what comes in, and then nothing. No monsters and smoke a doe, but I only eat them.
It's a little bit of both, right? And it's exciting to have a wall hanger, and I'd also be very excited to have some food in the freezer. So, just not getting ahead of myself. Also, it's not super convenient to come out and hunt. I got a lot of, like all of us do, got a lot of stuff that I could be doing otherwise. So the longer I string out shooting one, the more times I'm going to get to come out and sit and hang out with my buddies. So, just waiting it out. There's a lot of time left.
That's my favorite part about it, man, is hanging out with the boys.
For sure. I think it's cool. I enjoy it. But honestly, the real reason I'm doing it is because all my high school buddies are out and they have access, so I get to hunt with them and, it's guys that I don't get to see all the time. So, it's awesome. It's just good fun and hanging out with the boys. But, I pulled the smart cars this evening, though. They were headed to the bar, and I'm headed home because I know what's good for me. And they're going to go cause some mischief, I'm sure.
Yeah, it hurts too much to do anymore. I drank 3 or 4 pints of Busch Light last night, and I woke up this morning going, Jesus, my head. Granted, I had, like, no water all weekend, and I was sitting outside dehydrating myself in the cold, but, yeah, I've been drinking water all day. I'm an old man now.
Yep, it's official. That's what happened. That might have been this guy was going hard pounded beers, so I don't know. Not my jam anymore. Every once in a while I find myself doing that, but I'm good for 2 or 3 and then heading home.
It's just a couple and I'm done, or else it hurts too bad, because then once I get rolling, I don't stop.
I know that story for sure. Yeah, and like I said, I'll get out tomorrow afternoon. I'll probably have a couple afternoon beers with them, and then we'll get out and sit and see what happens. But I got a ton of projects done this morning. I got a ton of projects done yesterday, so the more stuff I get done, and makes life a lot easier. So I'll be back out at like 2 o'clock tomorrow and sit until dark and see what happens.
At ADDF, it's amazing how much you can get done when you're not at work. I've just been knocking out little stuff here and there. Fixed my antenna mast today, and it's nice not rushing through crap.
I was going to ask you, you know, if you got one, but I heard your explanation there.
got Dakota's a little earlier. Hey, I had a question, though, at work. They were asking me about that donut place, that weird one over on, I think it's on Harper, is it, or is it on Mac? Anyhow, that one you told me about where they kind of make those hybrid things.
Yeah, there is one on Harper in like 12 Mile, and then there's one on Mac in between 8 and 9 Mile. It is called Parlor Donuts.
Parlor, like Papa Parlor. I'm trying to think of what the massage parlor. There we go.
Yes, sir. Exactly like that.
Okay, I just made a note of it. Yeah, because we were in the office, and one of the gals there mentioned something about this place that made these weird hybrid donuts, and it wasn't that. And I said, I wonder if it's the place that I went to. And then for the life of me, I couldn't remember the name of it. And I tried looking it up, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't look it up. And so now I got it. So we're all set. Cool.
Okay, I'm back.
Tom, did you get one of the white dongle all-star nodes? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the little white dongle one says All-Star Link on it, and then I got a Raspberry Pi 5.
Very cool.
I thought you were ordering a Shari.
Is that what it is? It's like a Shari. It's like an 818 or something like that. I know that Wally sent me the link on what to order, and that's what I ordered, and I said I got a Pi Star 5 for the price of a Pi Star 4, so I wasn't going to squabble over that.
Okay, that was my confusion. The Shari is an actual kit, by Kits for Hands.
No, it says All-Star Link Gun, and it's white with a little antenna on it, and then, of course, the USB-C dongle, and I didn't realize that you had to flip it one way to program it and flip it the other way to transmit, so now I got it marked so I don't forget.
Yep, I see it right here, the R-Sync.
Yeah, it wasn't expensive at all. And then I got a aluminum heat sink case for the Pi. That was like $15.
WAEAP loves these things.
Oh, that's my first one. Well, they showed me how to program it and some macros into it so I can hit a keystroke, you know, a macro what? I think it's star 526 for FBI or star 572 for Mac. And that's all I was looking for because I'm just at the cusp of the end there to get into the Macomb repeater for NETS.
Yeah, you would probably need some serious height or some serious power to stretch down there. Although maybe not. That's got a really good receive on it.
Well, I can hear, but, you know, all depends on where I stand and if I've got a tinfoil head. Standing on one leg, you know, touching a light pole. But when I go up in my attic, I can hear just fine, transmit just fine. So I still got to put a Pi 10 with a bang mount up there and just mount it to the rafters and then run the cable down into my son's old room because there's a desk there and I got a power supply from Sean and I got a little NEC cue and then, you know, 25 water, that's all I need.
Yeah, once you do that, you'll be fine. You probably won't even need the full 25 watts. I'd be willing to bet once you get the antenna up there, you probably need less than 10.
Yeah, because I can hit it with my 5 water, no problem up there. How's it going, Ethan? Are you out hunting or are you doing all home stuff too today? GCQJ, and I think I heard Sean out there, so hello to you too. Thank you.
Tom, I was out hunting this afternoon. I'm actually on my way home right now. 94 and 59-ish. Like Dakota was saying, I think the weather's changing. It's getting colder. They're going to start moving, and maybe tomorrow or later this week we'll have some good action. Start seeing some movement. Start filling freezers.
Cool, because I'm fresh out of venison. I don't hunt it, but I'll eat it. And it makes a great chili and tacos.
Those are two signature venison dishes.
Yes, they are.
Oh, my wife made venison stew. Oh, my Lord. It was the best, and I don't know how she did it, but that meat was tender, full of flavor, and my God, I ate that for like 2 days in a row.
Yeah, it's good stuff, and it's organic, not dyed garbage. Is our resident audiophile still listening?
What was that, Dakota? Is there a resident audio something? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I asked if our resident audiophile is still listening, a.k.a. W8FU.
Copy.
Oh, yeah, I was off elsewhere. What are you looking for? A question that just popped in my brain when I was plugging in my over-ear headphones into my 705. Why do I have to, like, finesse the 3.5 so I can hear stereo if I plug in it all the way? It's mono, and it's out of my left ear.
I do not know. You sure it's mono? You sure both are stereo? Maybe it's a mono jack. Is that a speaker jack on a radio?
That'll do it.
Yeah, the jack on the radio is mono, and then so as you move the stereo jack in and out, you catch both, and you'll hear it in both. But when you plug it all the way in, you'll just catch the one. I don't know if I would recommend doing that. I don't know. I'm trying to think what you could do there. So you got that's a speaker output. It's probably looking for 4 to 8 ohms. Headphones should be higher than that, so it shouldn't be a danger.
These are 80 ohm Beyer Dynamics.
Right, and then if you're catching both, it's probably, let's see, how would that be water? I'm trying to think how it would catch the jack, but let's assume it's 40. So it's still well over. Higher impedance is fine. It's not going to hurt anything. So you're probably fine. It's not designed to do that, though, but probably won't hurt nothing.
All right, well, thank you for your expertise. I'm going to find a pair of Bluetooth headphones to plug into this, or a pair to this.
You should be able to get a mono to stereo adapter. I used to have one. Is it a regular phono jack, Dakota, or is it a mini?
It's a regular one. It's off the side of my 705. But it's for an external speaker or their proprietary speaker mic that's got separate jacks, unlike, well, I guess it's not unlike, it's just two different plugins instead of a K connector.
Wait a minute, is that the Yaesu?
No, this is my 705.
Okay, because you got to be real careful with the 500. Because its jack has got two different outputs, and you can jack things up if you don't have the right speaker plugged into one of those. From what I read, I haven't looked into the technical aspects of it, but I've heard bad things happen to those who play with regular speakers in a FTM 500. You would think that they had idiot-proof it, but I heard rumors they didn't.
No, nothing plugging into that. Just my wife is watching TV, so I put headphones on.
Yeah, check out Micro Center Dakota or Best Buy in the audio section, and they should have a mono to stereo adapter. I used one before for the small MIDI jacks, and it worked just fine. But I know we're talking about an amateur radio, but it's just an adapter. It should still work.
Sean's got me all nervous now. I don't want to break it. I'm just going to pair a set of Bluetooth ones to it. I got a set on my desk that I use for miscellaneous electronics that aren't Apple.
I got a pair of Bluetooth headphones if you want them. I only use them every so often, and they're just kind of sitting there.
I appreciate it. I got a couple pair in my desk here that are from older devices. To pair up nicely with the 705.
Dakota, have you seen you guys are running that new Bluetooth hand mic, that BGC, which is the new hand mic for that VTech UV Pro? They're pairing it with the 705, and it seems to be working really well.
Feeling Dave has done that. What's the model number?
I don't know what the model number is. It's a new VGC. It has a screen on it. I saw a YouTube video or two that people are pairing it with the 705. The original one that did not have a LED screen on it was able to pair, and people were using it, so, but right now I think it's only labeled as VGC. It might be a 8800 or 8801, I can't remember what it was, but it has an LED screen on it, with an A and B channel, so you may want to check it out. I think it's like $80, see if it fits your needs. Be all Bluetooth, that'd be pretty awesome.
The radio is the VGC Victor Romeo N7600. That's actually not this one. I didn't know this one was out, but a VGC radio has been on my list of radios I want to try someday. And then the mic is a VGC BHM79, but that's the one with no screen.
Yeah, the radio is a, the UV Pro is a clone of that. So the radio is a very cool radio. What would be interesting if they come out with a mobile at 25 or 50 watts, and you can run that, the mic with the LED screen on it, that could be quite the setup. You have to set up, you might even be able to run in your wife's car.
All right, we might be talking about two different things then. You're talking about a handheld, I'm talking about a mobile.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find it when I get home. I'll see if I can find it, I'll send it over to you. But I think Ham Radio Crash Course did a video on it not long ago, and how he paired the wireless Bluetooth mic handset to his 705. So you might be able to find it that way. But it's a pretty cool device. I have the one without a screen on it for my my UV Pro, and that works great.
It's BHM-88, $70 on eBay. This just makes me want to try one of these radios if I get both.
Tom, I think you jumbled with Dakota. I heard what Dakota said, but I did not hear what you said.
Oh, it's time for me to jump out. Just pulled in front of the house and dog's licking the window, so it means she's waiting for daddy. So, happy hunting. Keep nice for tomorrow. Stay safe. Stay warm. 73 KC8 KJO.
All right, have a good night, Tom. Hey, Dakota, what's the weather forecast for tomorrow? I passed two signs on the expressway that said it was winter weather expected, and I didn't know there was any precipitation in the 5 day, let alone tomorrow.
Tuesday is 38 degrees with a 35% chance of snow.
All right, well, I wouldn't be sad to see some snow, especially if we could keep it. I don't think it's going to be cold enough for that, but, you know, that last 15 minutes of shooting light, it's really dark, and it'd be fantastic if there was white snow covering the ground.
Yeah, I was hoping for that after we got that first snow, but looking at the forecast between 1 and 6, it's going to be like 37 to 39 degrees with about a 10 to 20% chance of snow, so I got a feeling we're not getting snow.
Yep, sounds like I need to stop and grab a muff on my way out tomorrow. My hands were freezing today, man. It was wild.
Yeah, stuff some hand warmers in with that muff and you'll be good.
Yeah, part of me wants the marsupial gear one because it integrates, but the other part of me wants it tomorrow.
Well, they sell their stuff on Amazon. Let's see. Anything? Ooh, they sold suppressor covers. Did you know that?
I did know they made suppressor covers. I did not know that it was on Amazon, though.
Alright, so none of their stuff is prime. Well, stupid stuff like a rangefinder tether. But they do sell on Amazon, and yeah, none of it's prime. I have a Sika muff for waterfowl. I don't have anything that actually integrates my vinyl harness, but that would actually be really, really nice in the late season.
Yeah, maybe I'll just order one tonight and tough it out and hope it gets here by, you know, Saturday or something. And, because that would be nice to not have to run gloves and then have hand warmers in there and you're good to go.
So it's November 25th. The cool thing about this one, though, is that it integrates to the harness and then you don't have a strap going around your body.
That's what I was looking at, and that would be awesome. You know, less things going around your body when you're sitting in a chair is good.
Yeah, that's the first thing I do when I get in the blind is I take off that yoke and that hip belt, and then I just keep my vinyl harness on.
Yep, maybe I might order that tonight, but I might look at getting that, at least parts of that belt that you sent me when stuff goes on sale Black Friday.
Keep an eye on their blend sales, too.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. I saw that when I looked real quick tonight. I'll have to see. But I wanted all to match, so it would have to be, like, the right colors on a blend sale.
I stuck with, I'm trying to think what mine's called. It's gray and coyote, so I can go either way with it at least.
Yeah, I think I have the same color stuff that you do. It's like the gray piped with coyote.
Coyote is what they call it. But yeah, if you check the blem, like the harness is on sale for $112.
Okay, I'll have to look. I'll look tonight. I'm almost home, pulling in the driveway, so I will. I'm gonna sign off here because I'm gonna unload and get in the house and eat some dinner. So good talking to you, K8RUH. Hopefully, we will talk tomorrow with a couple of successful deer hunts. We'll see what happens.
All right, man, sounds good. Yeah, if I don't talk to you, good luck. I'm sure I'll be texting you from the blind. I'll catch you later. Any DBS. W8EAP. What's happening, Eric?
Hey, not much. Just wondering what radio you talked on. You sound completely different on that radio.
Dude, everybody I've talked to today has said that. Is it good or bad?
Sounds extremely processed. I wouldn't say it sounds bad, but it's extremely processed.
I am on my 705, and I am not going into an amp or anything. It's just straight feed line to my antenna.
Huh. You must have some kind of speech processor turned on or something. Like I said, it's not that it sounds bad. It just doesn't sound like you. Sound like you could be an AM radio newscaster at an AM radio station.
Yeah, I just checked my settings. It was all factory, zero gain on treble or bass. I just bumped the bass up. How about now?
I don't know. It's just like I said, it just sounds like you're going through a massive audio processor. What repeater are you on? Obviously not in Warren.
I'm actually on Warren.
You got a set of beams or something? Amplifier? Oh, you don't have an amplifier. Set of beams?
No, I'm 10 watts. I do actually have a UHF and a VHF amp, but 10 watts, and then I got my mast fully extended, so the tip of my antenna is about 42 feet in here now.
All right, okay. Yeah, you must have some settings. I don't know, I have to hear someone else at the 705 to see if they sound the same way or not. It's just, like I said, it just... Like I said, it doesn't sound bad, it just sounds very processed. So, maybe it's just me. I'd have to hear another 705.
Sean, Dave, and Tom all said the same thing. Not necessarily that it's processed, but just that it sounded different.
There you go, Jeff.
Yeah, I think you're still
keen. NAWJ.
Go ahead, Jeff.
How many repeaters hooked up to here? And is it strictly UHF? Does anybody ask me that? Answer that question.
At a quick glance, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 on flying beers, and then, I don't know, 7, 5 on flying beers, 6 or 6, 5 or 6 on flying beers, and there's a whole bunch on Central Michigan, probably another 10.
Okay, I know you got one, probably, if I'm not mistaken, in Flint, Michigan. Where other place around in Michigan is this machine? Repeater. This link, I should say, repeater.
If you go to k8fbi.org, it'll take you to take you to the dashboard that shows you the machines, the frequencies, and where they're at.
Okay, that's K-8, is that the FBI?
Copy that, yeah, K-8-FBI.org.
Got it, thank you. All right, well, I'll let you guys continue. I was always wondering about this. I mean, you know, every now and then I hear somebody, some Flint in there, and I hear somebody, if I'm not mistaken, a Saginaw and all that stuff there. So I know it's got to be linked, but I was just kind of wondering how many repeaters are linked to a machine, and if it's just strictly UHF. Okay, thanks for the info. This is November 8th. We're just leaving.
Are you still out there?
Yep. Sounds like you got a little weird noise in the background, too. That could just be your signal, I don't know.
Probably the TV. Hold on, let me switch over to Richmond. Alright, is this any different?
Down to Richmond now, you said?
Yeah, I should be clobbering this repeater, so there's no issue of signal here.
W-8-D-A-P, yeah, you got rid of that weird background noise, but you're still very processed.
All right, well, I don't know. I'm going to have to look into that. I wish I could hear it.
Yeah, I don't have any good way of recording it right now. But it could be your, what mic are you using? Just the standard hand mic?
Yeah, the one that comes with the 705.
I wish Dave was out here. Dave, I think Dave was playing with his and he sounded like that, and then he did something and it sounded cleaner, less processed. But that was like a year ago. I have no idea what he did. He changed some setting on it. Like if I never talked to you before, never heard you before, I wouldn't probably think nothing of it, but it doesn't sound like you normally sound, so I don't know. Maybe Dave knows. Catch him somewhere, maybe on the note or something. Maybe he'll explain what he did. I could have swore that he was messing with his, and it did kind of sounded like that, and he did something. He changed it.
Hold on. I found something. I just got to find it in the settings. I don't know. I can't find it, but there's a whole article on it where it says adjust the FM mode transmit deviation, adjust the 2.5 kilohertz for optimal modulation, depth, and clear voice transmission. I don't know where the hell that setting's at.
What's your deviation set to now?
I don't know. I don't know how to get to it. And then there's also one, there's a comp setting, too. I do have my compression turned up a little bit, I think, but I don't think that affects FM.
I don't know. Turn it down or turn it off or change it a little bit. Let's see if it does anything.
It's not accessible in FM. Like, I have to turn on sideband to get to it.
Oh, well, I don't know. If you talk to Dave on the note or something, he might be on the note, ask him. Let him hear what you sound like and see if he knows what setting it is to make it not as compressed sounding. But like I said, if I never heard you before, I wouldn't think anything of it, but doesn't sound quite like you, but anywho. All right, I'm going to jump out of here for a little bit. And might be out here a little bit later. I'm going to go watch some TV. So
Catch you later. Have a good one. W8EAP.
All right, I'll see if I can grab Dave and I'll talk to him. NAPDF.